Welcome, Bird Gang. On today's show, stop me if you've heard this before. Solid quarterback, excellent running back, two top-tier wide receivers. That's right, the Cardinals' defense is once again facing an offense that presents multiple challenges. Of course, they met that challenge in Week 1. So what does Vance Joseph do for an encore? But first, okay, Kyler Murray didn't win NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He did win MVP, and that may be an even bigger honor. It's Cardinals Cover 2, Episode 467, and it starts now.
Welcome to Cardinals Cover 2 with Craig Grealoux and Mike Jarecki. Cardinals Cover 2 is presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
Going for Hopkins, one-handed catch and a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins.
Here's Craig Grealoux and Mike Jarecki.
So the NFL MJ continues to look for areas to expand its brand. They are looking to attract younger viewers, introduce kids to the game. And this has been an ongoing thing that they've done working with Nickelodeon. Last year we saw the simulcast with the Bears against the Saints in the wild card playoff game. Another broadcast is planned this postseason. And now a new feature, the debut episode Wednesday, Nickelodeon NFL Slime Time. Why are we doing this? Why are we talking about that here on Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals? Well, during that broadcast, which, by the way, features Nate Burleson, who I think every time I turn on the TV, MJ, he's on my screen. But the first ever Nickelodeon valuable player was announced, the MVP, not MVP, but NVP. Three candidates: Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Joe Burrow. Spoiler alert, Kyler Murray won the first ever MVP.
Well, that tops winning the league, player of the week.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against Matthew Stafford. Obviously, they were victorious, just like the Cardinals. He had a nice little passer rating. But, hey, this is probably going to have a higher victory for Kyler Murray than, you know, getting bypassed. Again, he's going to win some awards throughout the season, but just based on him and, you know, being a young guy and, you know, last year, you know, Nate Burleson was doing the game. And as you pointed out, he's on CBS, he's on the NFL Network, he's everywhere, kind of the next Michael Strahan. But I think Kyler will appreciate this. Maybe, I'm sure he felt a little snub, but he's more about winning right now than worrying about, you know, weekly awards.
And I was talking just that subject with Mark Dalton, the Cardinals senior VP of media relations, because he told Kyler the same thing. This probably will be better for you because there are more eyeballs. And as I told Mark, yeah, it's a younger audience. You got kids now going to point and tell their parents, I want a number one Cardinals uniform. It's a young demographic. And yes, football is for everyone, but there is certainly a segment of the population that the NFL wants to groom for later years. And why not? I think the partnership with Nickelodeon made perfect sense. The game last year was a lot of fun to watch, even for myself and others in my age brackets. And I'm looking forward to more with Nickelodeon because it's at the end of the day, yes, it's a job, but it's a game. Football is a game.
It's so entertainment.
And why not have a little fun while you're doing it?
Yeah, and the graphics were awesome. I mean, the slime and, you know, different plays, they would add these graphics and some of the things, like when a guy caught a touchdown, you know, they would have the slime, like
slime cannons.
Slime, yeah, like a Gatorade. You know, I think a few years ago, Larry actually had the slime poured over his head.
Yeah, I do think Fitz was part of one of those award shows.
And I texted him, and he said, Mike, it was worth it.
And everyone goes crazy. You go nuts.
Well, I think
for
he
that.
Was talking about how much they were paying him.
Well, okay. That's true. It's always about the pocketbook.
But, you know, it was reported that over 100 million people now
watched Week 1.
Watched Week 1, and you look at it, and I really think, Craig, it's probably 50-50 when it comes to male and females watching. I mean, a lot of females are playing fantasy football. Who knows when it comes to gambling? Maybe they're leaning on the other half. But I'm just telling you, and it's so nice to have the fans back. And, you know, we'll talk about this probably more tomorrow, but it's a game changer now with this new Wi-Fi at the stadium.
It is a sold-out State Farm Stadium on Sunday for Week 2, the home opener against the Minnesota Vikings. And, yeah, it is going to be in a little bit of an adjustment. I know Darren Urban on azcardinals.com is working on a story for this week about that, because you go from however many years playing in front of fans and then a season with no fans or very few fans, and now is there an adjustment to acknowledging that the fans are back, especially when you're the coaches and you're trying to bark out instructions, or you're the players on the field and you're trying to get everyone lined up. Last year, heck, you could just tap someone on the shoulder and have a conversation. Now you got to go back to yelling and trying to get over the top of the noise within the stadium. So a little bit of an adjustment, perhaps.
Yeah, and I don't have any idea how the players are going to come out of the tunnel. Supposedly that's going to be a little bit different than, you know, previous years, so I'm excited about that. But, you know, if you're on the Great Lawn, it's the G5. It's six times faster than regular Wi-Fi.
Wow.
And it's throughout the entire stadium. So we know people like to take pictures. You know, there were some issues in Nashville when it came to posting stuff. So here, that won't be the case, but it's on the Great Lawn. It's going to be in the stadium, so you can post all your pictures and, you know, have a good time. But I'm looking forward to 65,000 people, you know, and don't know how many opposing fans are there. I would think the home opener, yeah, there's some Minnesota people out here, but I think it's going to be pro-Cardinal crowd.
And cannot recommend and stress enough to download the mobile app when it comes to parking and ticketing, and there will be people on site to assist if you need help. But remember, we're in this day and age where it's contactless and it's paperless and it's supposed to be more efficient, but there is an adjustment. We get that. So read up on it on azcardinals.com, and there will be, again, people at the stadium on Sunday to help.
Yeah, and there's if you just go to the Cardinals website, they have all the rules and regulations. Again, cashless concessions. There are ATM machines in there. I don't know if that's for the team shop or et cetera, but it is cashless concessions. So they've made some adjustments to that. The concourse, obviously, you know, the first go-around, they've made some adjustments and they've upgraded some of the how they're going to treat the fans. So I'm sure everyone's looking forward to it. You know, when the schedule came out, you're always looking for the home opener.
Absolutely. By the way, didn't want to bury the lead here, but the MVP, the Nickelodeon Valuable Player, by the way, there is a trophy. There is a physical trophy that Kyler will get. The weekly conference player of the week honors, there is nothing. You don't get anything. You just get the recognition. So another benefit for Kyler Murray to win this award.
Yeah.
He added to his trophy shelf.
Yeah. And, you know, if he puts up another four or five touchdowns, you know, maybe he'll be in the conversation. But I think at the end of the day, obviously Chandler Jones deserved it. It was very clear, three sacks in the first quarter. But Kyler's about winning right now. And I think everyone in that locker room, they're staying in the moment, you know, one day at a time, one game at a time, and I like their approach.
Absolutely. Before we get into this week's matchup as far as Cardinals defense facing the Vikings offense, a quick roster note, kicker Matt McCrane is back. That's right, the Cardinals signed him back as an unrestricted rookie free agent in 2018. Started one game for the Cardinals, but he was signed to the practice squad. They had an open spot there with Kylie Fitz signed to the active roster over the weekend. And again, you're looking at perhaps maybe a backup plan, some protection, and it's always good to have a plan B, if you will, when it comes to the kicking game.
Yeah, and you know, the first thing you think of is there anything wrong with Matt Prater? He was out there practicing. I mean, he's not in the injury report last I checked. I guess we'll see if anybody's been at it. So it's just they did have the roster spot, and you want to have some insurance. And he was here with Phil Dawson. So he does have some experience with the franchise, and hopefully we never see him.
Yeah, there we go. That's because you caught me there, MJF. It's kind of like Colt McCoy. Hopefully we never see you on the football field.
But I'm more confident in McCoy. Again, Kyler Murray's a different, you know, dynamic player, but you know where I'm going here.
Exactly. Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Where are we going? Well, we are getting into this matchup on Thursday. We kind of focus on the Cardinals defense because that is when defensive coordinator Vance Joseph speaks. And the challenge this week, yes, it is the Minnesota Vikings. But just one quick note about the Titans, because when you don't get a chance to speak to the defensive coordinator immediately after a game in which you played so well, sometimes you have to wait, and yeah, you're waiting 4 days. But the questions to Vance about week one and the Titans, and his quote was, it was pretty good. It wasn't perfect. And I was just listening to this going, yeah, you strive for perfection. That's what every coach wants. And then even if you're up and you score 50 points and you win by 30, what does any good coach do? You look at the film and like, well, I got to motivate these players. I got to make sure they stay, upright in their chairs and still listen to us. So I had to laugh just a little bit just because as much as we talked about that defensive performance, I don't know how much better it could have been. Vance, though, was quick to point out that the defense was 0 of 2 in the red zone. They allowed 2 red zone touchdowns. So, yes, MJ, there's stuff that needs to be corrected.
Yeah, and again, I think it's easier when you win. When you lose, and you got to have to avoid losing streaks in the NFL. You know, guys start to point the finger. I did my job. Maybe, you know, if all 11 guys are doing the same thing. So, I mean, they set the tone. There's no doubt in my mind. The fact that, you know, Kingsbury was going to defer, get the ball in the second half, and put that offense on the field, referring to the Titans. Yeah, I mean, again, as a coordinator, I think Cliff will say that, yeah, they left some points on the board. That happens. But I think it's correctable knowing that, you know, everyone's pulling the same rope the same way. They all have their hand in the pile.
No question what the Cardinals defensively had game planned against the Titans worked. It worked very, very well. Can that same game plan work against the Minnesota Vikings? Because as you look at these two offenses, Minnesota, good quarterback, good running back, two solid wide receivers. And what we talk about with the Titans, good quarterback, outstanding running back, two quality wide receivers. Now, the one big difference, and I think it needs to be pointed out, when you look at these two running backs, whether it's Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook, the one big difference is just how they run. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 238. Dalvin Cook, 5'10", 209. They both put up a lot of numbers, but I think how they run the football and what the respective offenses do with them running the football is quite different. So that might be a big adjustment defensively. But bottom line, when you look at the main players on offense, week one to week two, you're talking about quarterback, running back, and two wide receivers.
Well, if you want to go a step further, we know that the Titans lost their OC last year, and he ended up becoming the head coach of the Falcons, and they got a young coordinator on their staff. Obviously, he comes from a football background, and that would be Clint Kubiak, obviously the son of Gary Kubiak. He's been in the system, and then on the defensive side of the ball, Mike Zimmer's still calling the plays, but his son is also on the staff.
Yeah, his son is a co-defensive coordinator with Andre Patterson. This is Clint Kubiak's first season play calling, and he was the team's quarterbacks coach the past 2 years. And when you have those changes, and I don't think coordinator changes get talked a lot enough about because there is an adjustment, especially as far as the game day operations are concerned. And there was probably a little of that week one. And now it's okay, let's get that over the hump and work on correcting it. But this Vikings offense, if you look at week one, 11 of the team's 12 penalties committed by the offense. 5 false starts, all in the first half, a number of holding calls. They were playing behind the sticks a number of times, and it's just something that we discussed with the Cardinals a year ago and all offseason. You get behind the eight ball, if you will, and you're facing second and long and third and long, then all of a sudden you can't do what you had set out to do during the week as far as preparation.
And that was so impressive how the Cardinals attacked the Titans on first down. You know, the way this game started, you know. Chandler was able to get in the backfield and trip Derrick Henry for a 3-yard loss. So if you can kind of contain him on first down, whether it's 1 or 2 yards, all of a sudden it's 2nd and 8. And now all of a sudden you get to 3rd and 7. It's more of a passing down. And they really both run the West Coast offense. And Kirk Cousins, he can make all the throws, just like Ryan Tannehill. But again, if you can pressure these guys, they're not as comfortable sitting in the pocket making all the throws. And, you know, Tannehill, I felt like as the game went on, he wasn't dealing with the pressure. And in fairness to him, you know, you got a guy breathing down your neck and J.J. Watt and obviously Chandler Jones. So I do think, you know, the Vikings, I listened to their press conferences. They want to clean a lot of things up on offense. They want to clean some things up on defense. I don't think they're going to have, trouble scoring some points. It's just a matter of how many. Is it somewhere in the 20s? Because the Cardinals, I think, are capable of putting up over 30 points in this game.
Absolutely. Offensively, yeah, that should be the expectation. And then defensively, you don't want this game to get out of hand. 13 points is a nice benchmark, but I don't think many teams go in and saying, hey, you know, the goal is 13. Because in this day and age, with the way the offenses are, it's in the upper teens, lower 20s, and you still should be able to come away with a win because, as we say, it's a pass-happy league. The league is based off of scoring. The rules are adjusted for the offense to have a little bit of an advantage to where 25, 30-point performances are what is needed to get done, especially in the regular season. Postseason, it becomes a little bit of a different story.
You have to have a defense that can travel. In other words, go on the road. And usually teams are a little bit more conservative, so you're going to run the football. But you're also going to try to utilize your weapons on the outside. So I agree with you. When you get to the playoffs, you got to make sure your defense can travel. Meaning, yeah, you like to win the division, you're hosting a playoff game, but they have to go on the road, take the crowd out of the game, and make it uncomfortable for the quarterback. And in this case, the Cardinals are at home, and they feel like they're going to get a great boost from the fans. Be loud. Be loud and proud, because they're going to need it. Now, there were three nullified penalties. They could have had 15.
It was 116 yards of penalties against the Vikings, and that was the number one thing that they are working to correct this week. It's also trying to figure out how to get Dalvin Cook going, because yeah, he did have over 100 yards from scrimmage, but just 61 rushing yards in week one. And according to Cardinals defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, once again, it starts with stopping the run. Week one, according to Next Gen Stats, the Cardinals had eight or more defenders in the box on 35% of Derrick Henry's rushing attempts. That was the eighth highest mark in week one. Last week, the Bengals saw or put eight-man boxes a lot against Dalvin Cook. Could that be the recipe here this week, where you put another defender in that area, whether that is a Buda Baker or that's an Isaiah Simmons or Zaven Collins, and take away the run to force Kirk Cousins and the offense to throw the football, in the words of Vance Joseph, put them in difficult situations to where you're forced on second and third down to air it out?
Yeah, and I was listening to the Vikings, and they were trying to bring up points how they could win this game, and they thought Justin Jefferson, even though he played, his numbers looked good, I thought he was a little lackadaisical on some of his route running. And then Dalvin Cook at 20 carries, 61 yards. He fumbles in overtime, put him in field goal range. So they're really calling out both Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson to a point. If this team's going to win, they're going to need more production from them. And, Dalvin Cook said, hey, listen, it's the first game. We feel good. We should have won that game. And you can make the case they should have won the game. But Joe Burrow was able to throw the ball down the field on them. So anyways, I think, that's going to be the key. Again, you talk about containing and possibly slowing guys down. It starts with Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. I remember the last time he played the Cardinals, I want to say he had like 11 catches, a couple touchdowns. He had two touchdowns in week one.
And those were team highs as far as receiving touchdowns, the two receiving yards and receptions. And he and Kirk Cousins, they have a rapport, if you will, on and off the field. So that has to be something to pay attention to. But getting back to that run game, and if Cook doesn't fumble there late in the contest, then yes, maybe they're still talking about the number of penalties, but this Vikings team comes in 1-0 as opposed to 0-1. And Dalvin Cook is, I think, maybe a little bit more shiftier, if that's even a word, but more a little bit more elusive than a Derrick Henry, who's going to pound it between the tackles. And I don't even know if he's even quicker or faster, but it is a different style of running game that, once again, the onus is going to come down to that front seven, the defensive line and the linebackers and the inside linebackers, whether that's Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, and Jordan Hicks, all three together or two of the three. But once again, it falls on those seven players and maybe an eighth in the box to make sure Dalvin Cook doesn't get going like last week with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something, again, first down is going to be very important, but maybe they feel like, and maybe the Titans felt the same way. Cardinals, you know, starting a young rookie corner. We know that Byron Murphy's made strides, and then you throw in a guy like Robert Alford. So I'm curious. Now, going back to Thielen, he had 11 receptions for 123 yards, a touchdown catch in the last meeting. Ames for his third in a row against Arizona with a receiving touchdown. So clearly he's a guy that may not get the credit. We look at, you know, sometimes the Rams, Cooper Kupp, Deshaun Jackson there now, and then, you know, Robert Woods. So I think, you know, Thielen's not the tallest guy, but he's really effective in the, you know, between the 20s. He can take the top off the defense, and the Cardinals are going to have to make sure they don't allow these guys to get behind him.
Well, you put eight in the box. Now, all of a sudden, you're stressing your secondary, especially at the corner position, because if it is Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and K.J. Osborne, who in a loss was one of the few bright spots for that Vikings offense, career highs in catches and receiving yards, and the Vikings ran a lot of 11 personnel, almost half the game. They had three wide receivers on the field. So now, all of a sudden, you look at Byron Murphy, who was very good week one, Robert Alford, who looked very good week one after not even playing for two seasons, and Marco Wilson, who all offseason long throughout training camp, we kept hearing more and more about this young player coming out of Florida who was ready for the NFL right now. And he showed he was ready. The stage was not too big for him last week in Tennessee. Now he's got to show it's not too big for him this week against the Vikings.
Yeah, and I tweeted out some rookie grades, and he was in the 60s, and people were like, well, he had three pass breakups. I mean, he definitely held his own against Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. And people have to understand, a 60 is not a bad grade. Nobody ever gets 100. Yeah, you like to be in the 80s and 90s, and obviously the production that Chandler Jones put up, he was like 93.8. I mean, it's going to be hard to top that, what he did. And it wasn't just sacks. So 60 is not bad. You'd like to have it in 70, but the fact is that, you know, it was his first start on the road in a hostile environment, so to speak, because the fans were there. And I thought he held up great, and he's only going to get better.
According to Coach Joseph, Marco Wilson, quote, was relaxed on the field. But more importantly than that, he played physical. He was on the ball quickly and wrapping up the ball carrier, not afraid of the action. And that's something that we saw throughout training camp and even in the preseason, that he is one of those physical corners that you need in this league that perhaps was lacking a year ago. And I think going into this second game, the Cardinals in the secondary with those three cornerbacks have to feel good when you match up against a Thielen, Jefferson, and Osborne.
And give Jalen Thompson a lot of credit. I thought he, you know, wasn't afraid to make those tackles in the open field. We know Buda Baker maybe didn't fill up the stat sheet, but he's a guy you got to defend. And then let's talk about the eraser, the guy that played four different positions, Isaiah Simmons. So you could have Isaiah line up in the slot. You can have him cover a tight end. You know, the one thing I'm not concerned with, but based on the film, you got to think that they may go mass protection, and that means, you know, Cousin would have more time to get rid of the ball. Now, I guess Zimmer made a comment he should have got rid of the ball before the half. But he said, and normally, if we're not in mass protection, he's got to get rid of it a little bit quicker. So that's getting off the spot. But, you know, Cousins can make all the throws, and we'll go through his numbers. You know, obviously, he was franchised back-to-back years, and they gave him, what, $90 million all guaranteed. And I don't think he's the reason. It's just, it's just last year, I think the defense took a step back, and that's the reason why they added five new players to that side of the ball.
Well, Cousins last season completed 73% of his passes for more than 3,500 yards that was last week, completed 73% of his passes for 351 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions last season. And last season was another year for him in which he threw for at least 4,000 yards and more than 30 touchdowns. So he is, though, susceptible to the pressure and the sack, and that goes back to the offensive line. He was sacked three times, hit eight times, and you look at what the narrative is coming out of Minnesota, MJ, with respect to the offensive line. Third-year center Garrett Bradbury needs to play better. Left tackle Rashad Hill struggled last week, and if you're a left tackle and you struggle week one, and all of a sudden week two, you got Chandler Jones breathing down your neck, there might be a need for a tight end or a fullback, which they do use to kind of help along that side. Now, last week, the Titans provided no help for the left tackle. I've got to think that the Vikings do look to chip or give a little bit more attention to a Chandler Jones, and that might open up something else for someone else on that defensive front.
Yeah, and you know, you just wonder what kind of game plan Cincinnati came with, because C.J. Ham, I think he had a false start right the first play of the game, and then he had another one with 12:30 in the first quarter, and then they had one in between with Coughlin. He had a false start. So maybe it was the crowd noise, or they were just concerned that they were going to hit the quarterback, so they're a little jumpy the first play of the game.
Well, and maybe that is part of nerves. I mean, the Cardinals on their first possession were called for multiple penalties, and it was four total through the first two drives. Five total, but four accepted. And I think a lot of that is just week one.
Yeah, and along those lines, though, see, we can go back and say those penalties definitely had a hand in their loss. The fumble was probably more magnified. At least the Cardinals, it didn't come back to affect them.
Correct.
If they were down 10-0, it's a little bit different. They were up 10-0 while all this was happening.
Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. As we look at this Vikings offense and looking at some of the metrics from a year ago about the offensive line, ranked 26th last year, 19th in 2019. They spent two premium draft picks on offensive linemen this past April. Christian Dariusaw was drafted in the first round, Wyatt Davis in the third round. Dariusaw, however, is still dealing with a groin issue and might not be and is not expected to be available this week. That's why Rashad Hill is playing right now at left tackle. So there is a lot of unknown, especially on the left side of that offensive line. And that's where you want to be the strongest on the left side, like the Cardinals. So I do think whether that's Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, Marcus Golden, someone else, Zach Allen, who I think has gotten a lot of attention this week, even though he didn't show up on the stat sheet, everyone has recognized how effective he was as far as providing pressure and then occupying space to allow someone else perhaps to make the play. And I do think this Cardinals defensive line can once again set the tone as far as how this game is played from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, you know, after the game, I'm like, how does Zach Allen play? And then you look at the stat sheet, and again, sometimes, as you pointed out, I think, and he pointed out perfectly, is other guys were able to make plays. Michael Dogby was able to make plays. You look at J.J. Watt and some of the tackle for losses. So, yeah, if they're going to put a body on him, that's going to free other people up, and that's the good news with the rotation they have with that defensive line.
Next Gen Stats, though, did have Allen for four quarterback pressures on 23 pass rushes. So you're being effective, just sometimes you're not getting credit for the tackle, the hurry, the knockdown, the hit, but it is something that is still effective, and that's something that you've always pointed to. Don't always look at the final stat sheet, but kind of pay attention to some of these metrics to kind of really get an idea of how effective someone was, i.e. J.J. Watt didn't show up in the stat sheet a ton, but really impacted the game in the words of Vance Joseph as far as what they were able to do, because I do think the Titans really keyed on Watt to allow someone else, Chandler Jones, to be so effective. What happens this week? Who do the Vikings key on, because it's hard to stop everyone?
Well, you said they ran 11 personnel, 32 out of 75 snaps, almost half the game. That means they're going to run three wide receivers, so that probably means that we may not see Zaven Collins as much. Now, if they go two tight ends, we could see Collins, but really they're going to go with Hicks and Isaiah Simmons, and then depending on if you got to think they're going to have three corners out there to cover three wide receivers. So I think the odd man out would be Collins. Now, he did play well in the run defense. Obviously, he's a physical hitter. It's just a matter of time where I think it's going to change week in and week out based on the opponent. Like next week, they go to Jacksonville. Do they run the West Coast offense? You know, you got a young quarterback, you know, first-year head coach in the NFL. So it'll be a little bit different, but they're not down on Collins. It's just it's based on the opponent and the personnel groupings, and that's how they want to match up week in and week out.
Let's get into that, because that is something that I really want to dissect, because that was one of the bigger takeaways coming out of week one, the few attempts or the few snaps that Zaven Collins had based off what we were told all offseason and then what materialized in week one. And I think some of that talk has been scaled back a little bit. Vance Joseph was asked about it earlier on Thursday, and he said it was just the game plan regarding Hicks having the green dot, calling the defense, and playing so much compared to Zaven Collins. I did find it interesting that Coach Joseph said when that game got out of hand on Sunday and you're up by multiple scores, it became, in his words, a nickel game, meaning the Cardinals defensively needed to have an extra defensive back. And when you put an extra defensive back on the field, you got to take someone off. And that someone was Zaven Collins. That was the game plan week one. What happens in week two and moving forward, who knows? But the narrative going into this season was Zaven Collins is our mic backer. He's the starter. He's calling the defense, and we'll see what happens. Well, what happened? Well, the roles were reversed, and it was Collins watching Hicks, where we all thought it was going to be vice versa.
Well, and we found out this week the two best players on defense were Chandler Jones and Jordan Hicks. So I think he's earned the right. Now, again, if they want to use the fullback and they want to use a tight end and go mass protection, I got to think if they're not going with three wide receivers, that's where Collins is going to get a chance to win some one-on-one matchups. Listen, this team's trying to win games. I mean, you also want to develop guys. We know that Simmons, you know, kind of hit the not hit the wall, but he didn't get a lot of reps early on. And here you got the 16th overall pick versus the 8th. But, again, it's great to have depth, and he's going to learn from this. I love the way he practices when it's open for us. He's out there, you know, sweating up, and it's like 15 minutes in the open portion that we can watch. So, like I said, he'll have a role. It's just a matter of how many times teams are going to go three wide receivers because they're going to take him off the field and go with three cornerbacks.
But one thing I would push back on that, though, is when you are up by the score of 38-13 in the fourth quarter, and not that the game is out of hand, although I think it was at that point because the Titans just couldn't do anything as an offense. But for me, that would be where you can get some developmental snaps, if you will. Put Collins out there. Let him struggle. Let him see some things. And I understand from a coaching standpoint that, you know, even 38-13, maybe it's not as wide as margin as we as fans look at it and think, because very quickly games can turn on a dime and then all of a sudden things get a little tight. And I understand wanting some experience there, but I'm always looking at it from, all right, this is where we are, and Collins can get some valuable time here as opposed to standing and watching Jordan Hicks do what he does so well, at least what he was able to do in week one. So that was the only disappointing aspect, but I get it from what Coach Joseph was talking about earlier on Thursday.
My counterpoint would be they had to throw the football, so you had to have your three DBs out there. I mean, it wasn't like they were lining up running the ball.
No, but you could still have Collins as the inside linebacker take Hicks off, just to, because in 2 or 3 years, it's going to be Collins, not Hicks, as that inside linebacker.
I agree with that. And if there's one knock, and they admitted it, they played Jordan Hicks way too much over the last 2 years. And you want to make sure he's fresh. But, again, he was in great shape, just like Chandler. I mean, they stood out in training camp, so – it's a good point, but if you still have to cover three receivers, but you're right, it would have made an easy move to take Hicks out of the game and get Collins some more reps. I agree with you, but I just think they're looking at personnel. How do we match up? But when you say it that way, I have a tendency now to agree with you from a standpoint of getting more reps.
And then you just look in some opponents coming up, especially within the division, because these first two games are run first offenses. And I think as the season progresses, it's going to be more pass first. And all of a sudden, if you got three or four wide, does Collins get lost in the shuffle? Because the plan, again, going in, which I did not agree with, I wanted Hicks on this roster. I wanted him to be the starter. I'm getting my wish, yet now I'm looking at it going, well, what happened? Why can't Zaven Collins get some more playing time? Can't play everyone, though I do think they've got to figure out some balance here, because you invest a lot in a first-round draft pick, and you don't want him to get lost like Isaiah Simmons did a year ago, though that was because of performance.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Darren Urban on the field yesterday, and he made a good point. He says, you know, let's wait for the Rams game. I mean, yes, but they're going to go three wide. I mean, with DeSean Jackson, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods, but they also utilize their tight ends. You know, obviously Stafford can throw the ball down the field, but maybe that's where you bring in the physicality and the open field tackling, and the corners did a really good job there. So, again, I think it's, you know, we're going to have to be – we'll look at his snaps in the month of September and how much they go up in October, November. He will have a role in this team. And again, injuries always happen, so you got to make sure he's the next man up.
It's become a good problem to have.
Yeah.
if you will, from the Cardinals' standpoint, because Hicks is playing so well, but you do want a rotation, you do want to keep guys fresh. Notes on that with respect to the defensive line, but first things first, if you enjoy what you hear here, we invite you to subscribe to all of Arizona Cardinals' podcasts. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, the Big Red Raids, the Cardinals Red Sea Report, the Dave Pasch Podcast. You can do so via subscription on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Just go to azcardinals.com/podcast for more information. As we look at this Week 2 matchup against the Minnesota Vikings, 1:05 is the kickoff, 8:30 a.m. pregame coverage begins on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network, the home opener at State Farm Stadium. And that front seven, going back to those three down linemen or two or four, however they rotate it, but the rotation, you've got six players, and they all, I think, had their moments in Week 1. And it was the young players that a J.J. Watt, a Vance Joseph really wanted to single out, because as we were told in the offseason, J.J. Watt, Michael Dogby, Rashard Lawrence, and Lucky Fotu, those four were inseparable in the offseason as far as working out, watching film, and you can see that improvement materialize in Week 1. Now, you got to do it again and keep consistent, but what those four have shown is, one, the Cardinals drafted well. And two, they don't only drafted well, but they drafted players who want to do well and were willing to put in the work during the summer months to be effective here now in the fall.
Yeah, and those players put the work in. You know, you always see a jump from year one to two, and sometimes it takes 2 years at a third year. But, you know, I like the fact that they got a nice rotation. You know, Corey Peters and Rashard Lawrence kind of men in that nose tackle position. Then you got Zach Allen and Dogby. And you look at, you know, J.J. Watt, they to me, position flexibility, you can move those guys around. Now, the Cardinals did show a three-man front with two outside backers. They showed a four-man front, and they were getting pressure without blitzing. So four versus five, and they were still getting some pressure to knock him off his spot. So I think they're just going to base it on if they want to go mass protection. Again, gives Cousins a little bit more time to throw the football. Then you got to be on your P's and Q's. You may have to cover for a little bit longer. But for the most part, if they want to go with their starting five live and spread out the Cardinals, good luck.
Corey Peters earlier this week called the defensive line depth, quote, one of the strengths of our team at this point, end quotes. And I think he's absolutely correct. And then he added this, no egos in the room, end quotes. And that speaks to those six players, as long as we are winning, as long as we are playing well, it doesn't matter who gets the credit, who gets the stats, who gets the numbers. At the bottom line, there's only one number that means anything at the end of the day, and that is, did you win or did you lose? Which check mark are you getting in the win column or the loss column? And in Week 1, I think those six defensive linemen played a hand in the Cardinals getting the W over the Tennessee Titans. Chandler Jones is going to get a lot of the spotlight, and rightfully so, but don't discount and don't forget what those defensive linemen were able to do to allow a Chandler Jones to have five sacks.
Yeah, it sounds like these guys are listening to the show. We talked about, you know, the run defense is, when they got J.J. Watt, and how, you know, somebody told me he was double a couple times when Chandler was maybe on the other side, but he was double teamed almost 36%. But stopping the run is the whole idea, and that front seven, they can fly around. One of the first things that Zimmer pointed out is he mentioned Chandler, he mentioned Watt, and then he mentioned Buda Baker and Simmons, and he said, when I watch the film, they are fast. They're flying around. We thought maybe gang tackling Derrick Henry because, you know, you can't bring him down with your arm or a stiff arm. It turns out that James Conner had the stiff arm. But first thing Zimmer said is the speed that they have from Chandler winning those one-on-one matchups, J.J. obviously willing to get dirty in the trenches, and then the way Buda Baker and Isaiah Simmons play. And you know, you look at Marco Wilson's speed, look at Isaiah Simmons' speed, Buda's speed. I mean, it's made a difference when it comes to covering the entire field.
Well, and then being able to keep those defensive linemen fresh. J.J. Watt played 72% of the snaps. The second highest snap count for a defensive lineman was Zach Allen at 56%. And then you keep going down. You look at Corey Peters and how well he played, and you go, he only played 15 snaps. Michael Dogby only played 13 snaps. Leki Fotu was on the field for 17 snaps. Rashard Lawrence was on the field for 21 snaps. So yet it wasn't a long period of time, but what they did when they were on the football field, let's hope that this continues to where, if needed, in the month of November, December, fourth quarter, J.J. Watt needs to play the entire game because, well, he's ready. He's able because games like Sunday, he was able to be a spectator.
Yeah, and you know, we had to go back and look at the Titans' offensive snap counts because if you're on the field a little bit longer, then those numbers will go up, and that's based on, obviously, you know, Cardinals were very effective on first down and defense and put them in third and long, and so they, you know, they weren't able to convert, and then there was tackle for losses, quarterback hits. So, again, it's going to be dictated on how many offensive plays the Vikings have where we could see those numbers fluctuate either, you know, up or down.
Bottom line, you want this Vikings offense to be one-dimensional. As Vance Joseph said, dictates what they do on second and third down. And we always look at the third down percentages, but Vance Joseph from day one always goes back to winning on first down. Because what you do on first down, then all of a sudden that sets up second down and third down. And I think the Cardinals on Sunday did a good job of making sure the Titans were forced to throw more than they wanted to. They got them out of their comfort zone, and that is going to be the plan this week. Put the Vikings in disadvantaged situations to where they become that one-dimensional offense.
Yeah, it's really remarkable when you break it down like that, because you would say, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and all of a sudden, you know, it's third and four or something, you know. So if they can put them in second and eight, third and seven, then that becomes a situation where they can tee off and try to get to the quarterback.
Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Before we get on out of here on this Thursday and put Mike Jarecki to work for his three keys and X Factor for Friday's show, MJ, you've got a better memory than I do, but Bird Gang, Folktales, Episode 2, The Night the Goalpost Vanished, will debut on the Cardinals' official YouTube channel on September 22nd is the date, a turning point in Cardinals history. The date, September 8th, 1997. Now, this was 2 years before I arrived in the Valley, but the Cardinals in week two rallied from a 15-point deficit to beat the Cowboys in overtime 25-22. Kevin Butler's 20-yard field goal, which banked in off the left upright, was the game winner. And the Cardinals not only beat the Cowboys, but snapped a 13-game losing streak in the series. And as the title suggests, the night the goalpost vanished, you were there then at Sun Devil Stadium.
It was crazy because all the fans were coming on the field. I mean, they were jumping the fence, and at that time you could jump the Sun Devil.
For a week two game.
Yeah. And so, and then all of a sudden you're seeing, and usually they'll put grease on the goal post, so you got to kind of slide down. But once you get three or four guys on there and they start swinging a little bit, they did get the goal post down. And it's I want to say it's in three pieces, you know, when they actually put it up for games. But all of a sudden you see people like carrying it. And I had to go cover the press conference, but I saw all the footage afterwards. It literally made it down to Tempe.
Yeah, they carried the goalposts out of the stadium down Mill Avenue. And this details what happened as far as where the goalposts ended up, because a lot of the participants in that game, whether on the field or off the field, I mean, the game ends and you see a bunch of fans storm the field. Well, I mean, of the players and coaches, they went into the locker room. I mean, just for safety reasons. So yeah. A lot of what they saw came after the fact, the footage on that Sunday night and into Monday morning. But again, episode two, Folktales, The Night the Goalpost Vanished, September 22nd. On the Cardinals official YouTube channel. We know how successful episode one was, Legendary Locker, detailing Pat Tillman's locker and why and how that was saved. Here, episode number two, figuring out where the goalposts ended up after the Cardinals beat the Dallas Cowboys on September 8th, 1997. Mike Jarecki was in attendance. I was not. So I'm anxiously awaiting this second episode of Folktales.
Oh, it's been great, and there's going to be 11 total. Obviously, the one that kicked off at the Pat Tillman Locker was fascinating. I didn't know a lot of the things behind the scenes, and it was really nice to see our guy Jimmy Omohundro with his acting chops. But the work that everyone put in, you're going to love the entire series. So this is number 2 of 11.
Absolutely. And again, September 22nd. See, I got it right this time.
Is your birthday on the 26th or something?
No, I don't know where that 26 came from. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking ahead to Sunday and the Cardinals score 26 points. But
now they need to score more.
Exactly. I'm right now need I'm looking at the 30-point mark as the norm this season. That's my goal. That's my expectation for this offense.
Well, again, it comes down to execution. Obviously, protecting Murray, not turning the ball over, don't giving up any pick sixes. And we've talked about it a lot. Last year when they scored 24 points or more, they were 8-2. So now you get to 27-30. And they were 14th overall in points scored last year. I want to say it was like 26 or 27-9. I think that can go up to 30, 31, 32. But again, at the end of the day, just win the football game.
Well, Mike Jarecki will tell us how the Cardinals can get to that 30-point mark and how they'll stop, contain, limit Dalvin Cook and stop that running game for the second straight week. We will detail that on Friday. And on that note, we will put a lid on this edition of Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. As always, special thanks to our executive producer, Jim Omohundro. For Mike Jarecki, I'm Craig Riolu. We'll talk to you next time here on Cardinals Cover 2.